Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Sharon Bradley, and Patty Zakas. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Okay.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maureen Holleran, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, our guest, Anton St. Martin, internationally renowned psychic clairvoyant, joins us with his knowledge and insight and discuss the clairsensis part two. So before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-host and Brenda. I will start with you. Hi, Brenda. How are you doing this lovely evening?
Well, it's been a challenging day. It's kind of a dramatic day, but hey, it's getting close to Halloween, so I'm real excited. It's my favorite holiday of the year. Yay!
Yeah, the brooms are getting all
oh, my gosh. I'm polishing up that broomstick, man. I'm getting ready.
Mine's in the shop getting ready because I've got
You had a little fender bender with it?
No, I have this high technology laser one. I'm joking. Maybe I do. Well, Brenda, could you tell us about what your expertise is and what you do?
Well, I work on psychic access. I am one of the psychics on psychic access. I'm a clairvoyant. I'm a medium. I kind of specialize in predicting dates, times, and places. I clarify myself as a predictive psychic, kind of old school. Yeah, straightforward.
That's a great thing. I like old school. That's a good thing. I like good old fashioned spiritual development stuff too. A lot of us have kind of gotten away from. So,
you know, we need to get back to the roots because you know all that fluff from the 80s is starting to catch up with us.
The fluff. It's like stuff and fluff with the Winnie the Pooh fluff.
And, that's right. It's too fluffy. No substance.
It's fluffy. Well, I don't know if we have Steve on, but if we do not, Steve, are you there? And if he's not, then I can kind of just say hello from Steve. He'll be with us shortly. I'm sure. Well, I know he will be. But in the meantime, I will tell you a little bit about what I know about Steve. And Steve is all that and then some. But no, Steve is a psychic medium. He's actually a fantastic medium, and I have a lot of respect for him. And he also believes in spirit completely and fully, and he is a fantastic reader. And I think all of us kind of know that around here. And what else about Steve? Oh, I like Steve. Steve's great. And there you have it. I'm sure, Steve, when you'll hear this later, you would, hopefully I did you justice, but he also works at PsychicAccess.com, so he can be located there as we are. So, with that said, Brenda, thank you. With that said,
you're welcome, darling. I'm ready to go. Ready when you are, honey.
with that said, so before I already did that part. So, you know, about me. I'm sorry. I almost forgot about me. My name is Maureen Holleran. I also am at PsychicAccess.com. I am an intuitive empath. I have the Claire stuff going on, which we'll talk about. Of course, this is a Claire show later. I talk really fast, but if you ask me to slow down, I will. And I feel I have a remarkable ability to be very objective in helping people, and I feel very strongly about my work. I take it really to heart, but I have a great sense of humor, and I do know that a lot of my personal experience come from the kind of readings I do, so I love my work, and it can be difficult and challenging sometimes, so there you have that. So there I am, and where we are. So tonight I'm delighted and honored to interview our special guest, Anton St. Martin. And he's an international psychic advisor, clairvoyant, medium, intuitive consultant, and destiny coach based in South Africa. So that's where he is, you guys. He's also a sought-after inspirational speaker, metaphysical teacher, and a spiritual author with a special interest in parapsychology. Sorry. There's a warrior. Sorry. Parapsychology, paranormal research, and psychic phenomena. Anton is a fifth-generation psychic, empath, clairvoyant medium. He was was born with a psychic legacy of his Celtic ancestors, which he inherited from his parental grandmother, yes. Anton's psychic aptitude includes a rare combination of all three of the principal clairs, namely clairvoyance, claircognizance, I think I said that right, precognition, and psychokinetics, which is one of my all-time special passions, and a gift of mediumship. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number later in the show, so please be sure to have your pen and pencil, or your whatever, ready, and paper. So if you were unable to catch our show last week on exorcism, which is, by the way, everybody, don't be afraid of that show. It was a fantastic show. It really was. And, the title may kind of freak you out, but it is a great show. But you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all the previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. And please feel free to circulate the archives link and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many people as possible so that we'd like you to share with your friends, family, their neighbors, their pets, and all that, too. So, with that said, hello, Anton.
Hello, Maureen. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing okay. You know, Anton, I was typing a thing in there for you, saying I was so happy I never got through typing it. Because I'm at my parents doing this, and it's kind of, different than my setup. But I am so happy you're here. And, I mean, I just wanted to tell you I am. And I was, for those of you who do not know, Anton was our guest on August 11th, and it was on the Clairsenses, and because, and that topic, as you know, Anton, we both will agree, is something that really, I am really glad that we're addressing, because so many people they're confused. So you can also find the archives, so August 11th, I believe it was, yeah, you can find that one. So, and it was such a great show, it was, I thought, Anton, I thought you were fantastic, and I know you thought so. But we thought you'd come back, and since there is much more to discuss on this topic, there you have it. So here you are, part two.
Yes, and it's wonderful to be back. It's great.
So how are you doing, Anton? You're in South Africa. How's it over there?
It's wonderful. It's a lovely summer's evening. Yeah, we had our first sort of heat wave starting about 2-3 days ago. But in the evenings, it's wonderful. I'm actually sitting here in my office at the back of the house with the door open, and the crickets outside and all of that.
That's right. You have your summer when we're going into our winter. It was so interesting. Anton used to be one of the original co-hosts on the show, and he's going, I'm freezing, it would be our summer. I go, what? I didn't know that. Like, do you wear shoes? No, okay, well, let's get down to business, Anton. And really, again, I'm really blessed that you're here, and I how I feel about you. I adore you, and I respect you. So first of all, Anton, I'd like to, can you tell us a little bit about your new book? I'm real excited. What can we look forward to? What can we look forward to? Tell us
that. Yeah, it's actually going very well. I'm working very hard, so I'm putting a lot of time and effort into it. I'm about two-thirds now, and it's going very well. And the book is called Divine Living, A Survival Guide for the New Age of Conscious Evolution. It's a very long title, but it's basically called Divine Living. And it's basically about three things. It's about awakening your divine being, reconnecting with your divine self. And then it's also about how to achieve your soul purpose and how to accomplish your life calling. I believe we come with a life plan before we are born. And a lot of people tend to lose their way. But there are reasons for it. I explain the whole process, why we disconnect at a certain age. As a child, we disconnect from spirit for a time, only to reawaken at a later stage. Unfortunately, for some people, that, especially nowadays, in the times we live in, for some people that only happens on their deathbed. And what's unfortunate about that is they basically miss out on the whole experience.
That's sad.
They leave before they got the soul purpose and their life calling sorted out, So I equate it to planning a huge, fantastic holiday, with a long itinerary and all the sightseeing that you're going to do and all these adventures you're going to have. And then you arrive at your holiday destination and you spend your whole vacation in the hotel room ordering alcohol from room service and staring at the TV in a drunken stupor. So,
Anton, that's amazing. I mean, I can I know how you said that. I don't know if you call it the metaphoricness of it all, but yes, yeah, absolutely.
So that's basically what it's about. It's about how to live an awakened and truly abundant life, and yeah, it should be available by the end of the year.
So, I can't wait. That you guys, everybody, listen up. Anton is he does the blogs for psychicaccess.com. What would you call yourself? The god of blogs.
I don't write the blogs. The blogs are written by all the psychics that work at Psychic Access. But I basically edit the stuff that they submit, you know, and select pictures for it and that kind of thing. So I'm sort of like the editor, you could say.
Yeah, and that's a great and it's a that's a lot of work, and I know we all appreciate it, but it's awesome. And you're right, you write really well. But you know, Anton, I mean, it goes without saying. I haven't gone to the chat room. Everybody, hi in there. But you have a large following, but I can't wait. And Anton, I remember you saying your book is a work in progress. I'm so happy to see that it's getting it. You're there. You've already done it.
Copy as soon as it's available.
Yes, but it'll be.
You will
it'll
be one of the first recipients, okay, Maureen?
Yeah, I want to be. Will you let me be a person?
Yes.
I want an autograph. No, Anton, I think you're going to be just lovely, but. Well, Anton, how about this? And I wanted to thank you again for sending me that lovely email that you sent me, you know, between me and you. And everybody, my father did pass. I don't like the word pass. My father died recently, but Anton, you're really dear to help me out here. So, how about we go for it? Because, you know, and you did not overspeak last time. You were fantastic, and you're so knowledgeable. You're the only person for this topic. So, for those, again, I'm going to repeat a little bit, but people who did not listen to the show last time we spoke, you know, you can listen to it, like I said, on archives, but can you quickly recap for us what the clairsenses are now, how they manifest, Anton?
Yes, sure. Like we discussed last time, basically the clairsenses or the psychic senses are different pathways of extrasensory perception, or what most people know as ESP, or the sixth sense. It's not really a sixth sense, because if that was the case, we would have a seventh and an eighth and a tenth and a ninth sense as well in some cases. So, but it's basically a pathway of perception that is extrasensory. That means that you perceive beyond the normal range that the normal five senses would perceive. And what that means is that basically everything in the universe consists of energy that vibrates at different frequencies. As humans, we can only perceive certain frequencies. So you can only hear a certain spectrum of sound, a certain spectrum of light or color. But there are frequencies above and below this spectrum that the naked human eye or ear cannot pick up on. But a person with a clair sense is able to pick up on some of those vibrations. So it's pretty much like a dog whistle. You know, you get these dog whistles. When you blow on the whistle, a human cannot hear the whistle, but the dog can.
Right.
And so it's like that. Some people have the ability to hear certain vibrations that is outside of the normal range of perception.
Which can be very disturbing for some of us who are in some places of families. We'll end that later. But yeah. Well, I'm glad that was perfect to give an overview of that, of what kind of we did, because it was a great. Everybody in the everybody listening, they were the ones who were really pushing. They wanted to hear more and more about this. So they asked for you to come back. I think the first time we've ever had, like, come on back. So, you know, something I did not have time to ask you last time, does everyone have these abilities, or can they be developed, or are people born with them?
Okay. Yes and no. Because, and look, this is my personal opinion. This is based on my personal experiences and from the research that I've done. I think it is wrong, or it's incorrect or inaccurate to say, because you get people that say we are all psychic, or everybody's psychic. And I don't believe that to be true. In fact, if all of us were really psychic, I wouldn't want to be here, because we would live in a really crazy, insane, chaotic world. I think it would be better than to be one of the so-called normal people, because you will be very special then. You will really stand out from the crowd. So I do believe that we are all intuitive, which is something a bit different. I believe we're all born with intuition, because it is a survival mechanism. It is an inner guidance system that we come with, you know, installed with the moment we arrive here. And it is there to help us survive and navigate through this wild experience we have on Earth. And therefore your intuition, but we've really lost touch with our intuition as a species because we don't really have to survive anymore. You know, in the ancient times, we knew, we would instinctively know there was a tiger hiding in the grass, or you shouldn't eat those berries when they turn red because you're going to die, you know. So, but we've lost touch with that. So that is something that we can all develop, most definitely. But that doesn't mean you're psychic. Intuition and being psychic to me is two different things. I believe that people who are psychic are born that way. Now, I know you don't agree with me on this, because you felt you didn't experience it that way. But
wait, you said me personally when we talked last time?
Yes. Well, that's what I gathered from what you said. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad you reminded me.
Yes.
Go on,
because I do believe there is a genetic connection, and it's not because I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being arrogant about it or saying that, you know, people who are born psychics are special or different or better than other people. That's not what I'm saying. I believe it's like a talent. Because I believe that we choose our life, we design our life before we come here, we get to choose what sort of family line we want to be born into because we want to have certain experiences that is part of our spiritual evolution. So in a previous lifetime, you or I might have been a top athlete because we chose a family that, for instance, produce a lot of basketball players because they are naturally tall as a family, and they have a certain distribution of fast and slow twitch fibers in their muscles, which is a genetic thing. It was proven by science. So I choose that family because I want to live. My life calling is going to be this basketball player, all right? So, and then I come, and then I have this genetic code, this ability that sort of gives me an advantage above the average person, and that enables me, and that I can develop. It reminds me of a documentary I saw once of that very famous violinist called Vanessa May. I'm sure you've heard of her.
Yes, I have. Yes.
They did a documentary on her because they wanted to find out, is it nature or nurture? What made her such a superstar? Is it the fact that her mother pushed her as a stage mom? Is it the fact that she practiced a lot? Is it the fact that she's good at maths? They even tested her hearing. So this whole program, they did all kinds of tests with her. They tested her hearing. They even took a biopsy from her muscles to see if she has a certain distribution of fibers that enables her to play faster and things like that. And although they found lots of interesting information, things that put her aside from the average person, average violinist, they couldn't pinpoint one specific thing. There was an X factor that they couldn't put their finger on. And that's what you find with most people that are good at anything. So that X factor is what I call people that are psychic. So that's how I see it. So I therefore believe that, although I must also add that I think that there are a lot of people that are psychic by birth or that have an actual talent but that are not aware of it. Because they
absolutely, especially if they're not into a family, like you said, talking about a family that would be. Well, you and I have talked about I identify with.
No, because like you stuff. say that you feel you wouldn't, but you know, it doesn't run in your family. But how do you know that?
Because no, you know, you're absolutely right about that, and I do know that that's not true because I do know that I have found out that there is a great grandmother of mine that did have. She was called spaced out, but she would come up with these things like she was staring. So you know, it was during that time period. So yeah, she did have it. It's just that my immediate family, I guess is what I'm saying is, they didn't.
Yeah, but you must remember that sometimes it skips one or two generations.
Yeah, maybe that's, you're right. Okay, maybe I never thought about it that way. That makes sense. Because I know my great-great-grandmother, my mom used to talk about it, but it would have been nice if they were around. You're right, Anton. I understand.
Look, I mean, my dad was psychic and my grandmother as well, but I never knew her because she died before I was born. And I would have loved to have known her because my dad never practiced being psychic in any way. And he discouraged me as well because I think, not because he thought it was wrong, because he grew up with it. I mean, he really grew up with it, but he was ostracized in his small town where he lived as a boy because his mum was so strange. So I think he discouraged me because he didn't want me to lead a life of being excluded and being the freak or the whatever, although that happened in any case. So he did tell me a lot of stories about it, which was fortunate because that helped me to understand who I was and where I came from. But it was much stronger with her than it was with him. you know. And I also know from documents that she left after her death that we know of at least three generations before her of people that had the same similar abilities. So we know that it goes, we at least know that it goes back five generations. But how much further, I don't know.
Well, you know, Anton, I don't mean to bring this up, but you know, I'm real into Carl Jung, whatever. And he says that we're all born with it, though, definitely, a psychic inheritance. Now, I'm really one to go with that, but I guess it has a lot to that whole thing really can be blown out of the wind because
I believe it's intuition, and what you're referring to, what Jung referred to, was the unconscious, the collective.
Yeah, the collective. Yes.
Yes.
So
you know why I say this, Maureen, is because There have been lots of studies, okay, and there hasn't been conclusive proof or anything. You know there's not a lot of research because the mainstream science has really not embraced this yet. You know, that time still has to come. It's all paradigm shift. But they do find that, why would it then be, for instance, that certain people, like Edgar Cayce, for instance, he had an accident at the age of 3. Where he fell off a fence post on his parents' farm or something. And he hurt his head and he had a concussion and he was badly injured. It actually punctured his skull. And after that, he started behaving differently and he started seeing things and hearing things and all of that. You often get that people become more aware of their psychic ability after a near-death experience or some kind of brain trauma. You often find that when they do like MRI scans or whatever on people who say that they are psychic, that their brain sort of reacts differently to certain information. Certain different areas of the brain light up in a different way and that kind of thing. That shows genetics.
You're right about that.
Different, you know?
Yeah, because my daughter is studying that, and she's in the lab studying different brains. And because of me, she's a neuroscience. They're doing certain types, and they're finally getting so close. People with all they use intuition. There's something. Well, she can say it. I can't. I don't know the terminology, but yeah, it's fascinating, Anton. You know, you're very, very. I really appreciate your knowledge because you're not someone just saying you know it all. And it's like, I know that you have done research and you know what your view is. And I really appreciate that because this is why it's so important to everybody to listen up. Because, Anton, I wanted to ask you what Claire
Sense is. If I had to do the work that I do every day based only on what, because some people say your intuition is your gut feeling or it's, you know, knowing things. If I had to base all my work just on my gut feelings, it would be a train smash.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I don't just have overactive intuition. There's a lot more going on. I know this from personal experience. So that's why I'm saying, I just think that people shouldn't devalue or, because, I mean, like one of the videos you had on the site this week, this lady says, as an example of clairvoyance, she says, it's when you like out and about and you see all kinds of signs around you, like you see a billboard with the numbers 1111 on it. That's not clairvoyance. That's a spiritual religious experience. That is a sign. It's a message that wants to remind some sort of spiritual sign. That doesn't mean you're clairvoyant. We all see signs. We all get messages. That doesn't make all of us clairvoyants. A clairvoyant is somebody that would see.
Yeah, that just means they're self-aware, which is a good thing, everybody. Everybody should become self-aware of what they're saying, absolutely. But that doesn't mean they're absolutely, you're right.
I think that it is, you're getting a sign. It doesn't mean you're clairvoyant. Clairvoyance would be rather seeing something like what happened with me with your dad when I heard his voice. Okay, that was clairaudience, but I heard his name.
Yeah, that was really...
That isn't something that I saw in a book. Do you understand what I'm saying? And also, like, when I would read it, like, clairvoyantly, I think I told you about this once, where the lady sent me an email recently, it was a year after the reading. I told her about the man that she would meet, she would have dinner with him, and he would be wearing a blue shirt. Now, I saw this in my mind's eye. I didn't see the restaurant. I just knew it was a restaurant, and I knew they were sitting at a table. But I did say it was a man. I couldn't see his face clearly. It was a stranger. It was a man. There was a shadow over his face, and I could see that he was wearing a blue shirt. And I told her that he would be busy doing something like a postgraduate degree, like a master's, doctor's degree. And all of that happened a year later. No, so, that is
so Anton, I want to know. Would you call? Because I know I get some stuff like that as well. I see now. Those are part of the Claire's that you do have, wouldn't you? Yes. Say.
Yes, absolutely. Because I see things, I hear things, and I feel or sense things, which is known as clairsentience.
Right.
And there's the five senses, which is clairvoyance, which is to see, clairaudience, which is to hear, clairsentience, which is to sense or feel. And then there are the two lesser known ones, because they're not as common, or probably because people don't use them a lot, is clairgustance and clairaliens, which is smelling and tasting.
Yeah, but the smelling one is what I think we talked about that. I thought it was clairscent. Wasn't there used to be a clairscent? Was a smelling?
We discussed last time. It has all kinds of different. It has like five different names. And
I know that's the problem here. That's okay. So what is it used now? I'm curious. I'm getting off beat a little bit, but I just want to notice. I do get the smell once in a while. I'm not smelling. You know what I mean? I smell my grandma's perfume or something. So what's the new? So it's almost like bipolar, manic depressive. They switched up the names, right?
Yeah, in a sense it is. And there's also a misconception. I'm having a very interesting discussion at the moment on a social network with one lady where she's very adamant. She's actually quite upset, almost upset about it, that she says she's very frustrated to try and find information about this, because everybody, the little information that's out there always seems to refer to people experiencing the other side or the dead or the deceased.
Right.
So that, you know, you have the typical experience of smelling the cigarette or cigar smoke or smelling somebody's perfume, that kind of thing, which is the more sort of common version of that. But it's not just talking to the dead. It's not just a mediumship thing.
Right.
Clear aliens can be things like some medical intuitives use it, which is fascinating. To give you an idea how it works, they did a study with dogs where they trained, you know, they trained dogs to sniff out drugs.
Oh, for the cancer thing you're talking about.
Yes, to smell cancer cells long before there was like the thing that forms, I can't remember the term now, but they can actually smell the presence of cancer cells long before.
Yes, I saw that
comes
years
up on
ago.
A test.
Unbelievable.
So a lot of people you will find believe that animals heal us, or they can sense that something is wrong. I read a story recently of a lady, I think she's also a psychic if I remember correctly, who she has a pet sheep, and the sheep used to come to her and nudge her in the stomach or something, and it was discovered that there was something wrong with her. I think it was also cancer.
Listen up for you. You know, that's incredible, because I saw that one because I had to have melanoma, and I had melanoma stage 3, and this one thing I saw on TV was they trained these dogs to go up someone who had melanoma to be able to sniff around their body. You know, melanoma starts really innocently, but it'll kill you. But they were able to actually, they did, and actually, it doesn't matter what kind of dog it is either. It's not a particular dog that can do this, but it was something that the sense, it was incredible. As a matter of fact,
That's how a psychic person that ability would use it as well, that capacity, because a medical intuitive can, some people tell you they can smell disease, they can smell death, they can smell if somebody's going to die.
No, and that's a really good point. So it's like, not just for the spirit,
absolutely. Needs, with tasting as well, you would get a taste of orange juice in your mouth. Which would probably tell you that this person might have a shortage of vitamin C in their system.
Right.
You understand? So sometimes psychic investigators use it as well, because they would get the smell of a marijuana, for instance, or they would get a taste of blood in their mouth, and they would know that this person had some sort of trauma to the mouth, or they would taste a drug or, you know, something like that, or smell maybe some sort of something that the kidnapped person was drugged with, whatever the case may be. So all these things have very practical applications, and it is much more than just smelling a dead person in your house, basically, or a loved one that is coming back to give you a message, although there's a lot of that as well, and there's nothing wrong with that.
So, Anton, did I already ask you what the clairsenses are?
Yes,
Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
Five ones that correspond to your five normal senses.
Right.
And there's a sixth one known as claircognizance. Now, there's a lot
of... Yeah, now, would you explain that? How about you explain that to people? Because I think people are a little bit... I mean, do you mind doing that to Claire?
No,
because that's
of course. Why we're doing this show. Look, claircognizance is an inner knowing. Now, I believe because it's linked to your mental process, you will also find that people that psychics who are very strong claircognizants tend to be more left brain oriented, which is quite interesting. Because you hear a lot of people say, no, but we must work on our right brain, which is the more symbolic, more sort of creative, feminine side of our brain, the more intuitive, unconscious side of our brain, where the left brain is the rational, analytical, logical, practical side of our brain. And they feel that the left brain has been dominating the right brain too much, which is true, but you cannot have the one with the other. And claircognizants tend to be more sort of analytical, logical, rational, organized type of people. So it's a myth that that all psychics are very powerfully right brain oriented. That is an absolute myth. Some psychics are actually quite left brain oriented, although they have a strong right brain as well. And claircognizance is basically when you find psychics just know certain things. You would ask them a question and they would just know the answer. They cannot tell you how they know it. They cannot tell you where they got the information from, but they just know certain facts or answers or something that is just there. I believe it's very strongly linked to our intuition. I think, because remember I told you last time that we talked about the fact that there's a brain-gut connection, that our stomach and our brain developed out of the same tissue, and that it's actually almost the same thing, and that your stomach also has neurons and all of that. So you actually have a second brain, and this is now the truth. This is not some sort of wacko science thing. And so if you think about that we have a brain-gut connection, we actually have two brains. We have the normal brain and the gut brain or the stomach brain. Then that would make a lot of sense why we would know things and sense it in our gut, like a gut feeling or a hunch or a premonition. It brings those two things together. So I actually believe that so-called intuition or gut feeling is connected to claircognizance. Because how is it that we know certain things and also sense at the same time? Because intuition falls under clairsentience, like we discussed last time. Clairsentience has to do with four different types of experiences. It's empathy or emotions or feelings. It's physical sensations or symptoms that you see with medical intuitives, or with mediums, they would sense a presence in the room, that you would feel somebody touching your hair or stroking your hand or that kind of thing. You'll feel a cool breeze in the room, or suddenly you become very hot, there's a heat in the room. All kinds of physical symptoms. As a child, I used to get a lot of medical kind of symptoms. I would be with my mum in the supermarket and we would stand in the queue at the cashier and I would suddenly develop this terrible pain in my shoulder or in my leg or whatever, and then there would be a person two people back in the queue with a plaster of Paris around their leg or their arm in a sling, you know, that kind of thing. So that is the second component of clairsentience, is to feel and sense physical things. Then there's clairtangency, which is a component of clairsentience, which all people also know as psychometry, is where you read energy from objects and from places. You can pick up, you sense the energy. And then the final fourth thing is your intuition, which is your gut feeling, premonition, hunches, just an inner knowing or an inner sensing. So actually when people say I'm intuitive, they should actually say that I'm an intuitive clairsentient. I know it sounds dramatic, but just clarifies it a bit more. Because some clairsentients don't have that strong intuition. I mean, everybody has intuition, but they don't rely mostly on intuition. They actually rely more on their medical sensing of symptoms, or they rely more on psychometry in their work, you know. So, I think people make too much of just intuition on its own. Intuition on its own is not a clear sense. It is part of a bigger clear sense, which is our general ability to sense and feel things, to pick up on energy. That is how I see it. So basically, we actually just have the five then. If you put claircognizance underneath clairsentience, along with intuition, then we have the seeing, the hearing, the feeling and sensing, the tasting and the smelling. And so then it's actually quite simple to remember. It's the five senses.
Yeah, well, that's hold on. That makes a lot of sense. I'm sorry if that's me, you guys, on my, if there's noise coming from my thing, but apologize. I'm at my mom's with her computer. But, hey, you know, Anton, how did the clairsenses develop in your case? I mean,
That's quite a long story, so I'm not going to go into details because that's all shown its own. But basically, the highlights were I knew from a very young age, I quickly figured out that I was different from other kids. I just knew it because of experience. I mean, I would know who was at the door. This is stuff, a lot of it is what my parents told me later. I mean, I would know who was at the door. I would know who was going to call. I would know what was in the mail. I would be in the supermarket and my mother would nod or greet a person that walks past. And I would ask her, why are you mad at that lady, mummy? And she didn't say or do anything out of the ordinary, but I knew that she was mad at her for some reason. That's why she didn't talk to her, kind of thing. I dreamt of the death of my maternal grandmother and grandfather. For instance, to give you an idea, I had a dream. I think I was about 3 or 4 years old, maybe 5. I'm not sure. Where I woke up in the middle of the night, and I went to my mother. My dad was a journalist, and he stayed out late a lot for his work. He traveled a lot. And that particular night, I actually woke up, and I said to her, Daddy has a moon on his face. But I was crying hysterically, and she said, what do you mean he's got a moon? I said, he's got a moon, or he has the moon on his face. What that meant subsequently is, later that night or early the next morning, my mother found out. She got a phone call. My dad was in a head-on-head collision, a terrible accident, and he had the scar for the rest of his life. He went through the windscreen, and the windscreen cut him, his forehead, in the shape of a half moon. Literally like a huge, his whole forehead was cut in the shape of a half moon. And he had that scar for the rest of his life. And I woke up and I said to her, Daddy has a moon on his face. And I was crying and she couldn't understand what I was trying to tell her. So what exactly it is that I saw in my dream or whatever, I'm not sure because I was too small. I can't remember, but that's the kind of experiences I had. But then I started blocking it out as I grew older. Because I grew up in a very conservative community in South Africa, you know, it was a socially engineered society. You were encouraged not to stand out, not to be different, because if you're different, you're going to question the policies of the government. So we were all trained like little robots to think the same way and be the same way and not stand out in any way. And of course, it was based on Christian education. It was a very strongly Christian sort of society or the policy of the government. And therefore, anything that had to do with anything that sort of just had a sense of the occult or the paranormal was considered satanic and very evil and all of that. So I was later taught, although I did readings in primary school for the girls in the library, because I used to hide out in the library so that the kids won't beat me up. And two older girls, it was just when I entered high school. It was like in the lower grades. I think you call it freshman or something. And I was hiding in the library one day and I was reading a book about palmistry or something, because I read a lot about it. And two older girls, senior girls, saw me reading this book. And the one was a very pretty girl, a blonde girl. She came to me, she said, what's that book you're reading? And I told her about it. And she said, oh, so can you like tell the future? And I said, well, I think I can, you know. And she said, well, why don't you tell? And she called her friend over, and I took their hands, because I get a lot of information when I touch a person. That's really intense.
Right.
And I tend to avoid it in general in public, because people always want to be in my space, and I'm so scared of touching people. I'm almost like some people say, like a germaphobe, but I'm not worried about the germs. I'm just worried about the energy, like just stay away from me. So I held their hands and I started telling them things about their boyfriends and their love problems. You know what teenage girls worry about. And I mean, their mouths dropped open. They couldn't believe what I was telling them. And so I did that for a while. I mean, word spread, and suddenly the library was the coolest place in school. So all these girls were queuing up, and I was very popular for like 2 or 3 weeks, but the library teacher had to put an end to it because it was becoming very rowdy and chaotic in the library. So, and then I was sent, she sent me, unfortunately, she sent me to the headmaster, where I got a good beating. Those days they used to beat us with canes, and I got a good beating because I was indulging in witchcraft or satanic stuff or I don't know what. And so after that experience, I went underground, you know, I went into secret and I sort of left it behind. But I think most of us go through that process where you leave it behind, like in your teens and 20s, because most of us tend to start, returning to it only about in our 30s, some people only in their 40s or 50s, which I think is a good thing, because you need a certain amount of life experience to to be of true service to others. I think we are too narcissistic in our 20s, you know, to be really, I'm not generalizing, but, and you also don't have enough life experience to really, I mean, how can a 20-year-old really advise a person of 50 about choices they have to make in their life and that kind of thing? So yeah,
I don't want to interrupt you because I really on a roll, and you know you're never
you
talking
need to go to
enough.
A commercial break.
You know you're perfect. We're going to take a short break. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We'll be right back with Anton.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
And welcome back, and we're here with Anton St. Martin. And Anton, what were you? I didn't mean to interrupt you. Now you were kind of getting into something really. Your groove thing was going, and so could
yeah,
you
I was,
like
I was going off in a bit of a tangent?
No, it was not, Anton. You're never going off in a tangent. I think you're.
I was just telling you that I lost it as a child at some point. And or I suppressed it, or what you know, pushed it out of my consciousness, but it kept staying around. I kept hanging around, and then there were two major breakthroughs in my late 20s. I developed intense anxiety problems. Actually, I had in my late. I think I was like in my late teens. I was still at school. I was in the. I actually came with my dad to the city where I live now because we lived in a small town, and he used to come for his work. And I used to take a bus from the office complex where he used to go, and I would go to the like entertainment area or the entertainment district, and I would go to the movies and stuff because that was a real treat for me because we didn't have much going on in the town where we lived, and. This particular day, I got off the bus at a certain point because I wanted to go to a specific place, and I was overcome by this panic attack. It's like I cannot describe. I thought I was dying. I thought I was having a heart attack. I literally collapsed on the sidewalk, and I was just overcome with the most intense fear, anxiety, like I cannot describe. And all I knew, I didn't understand what was happening to me. I just knew I had to get out of that area. I had to get out of that area immediately. And I didn't want to wait for the bus to come on his route back, you know. I started running, which was normally like the distance was about a 20, 30-minute drive. I ran that whole distance, crying, like totally hysterical. Huge drama. And guess what? I actually forgot about it. A few years ago, I came across something, I was doing research or something, and I came across an article of that time, and then I remember that something like that was going on. You know, there was a lot of terrorism in the country at that time because people were opposing the government and everything. And in that area where I got off the bus, a couple of weeks or months, I'm not sure how long after that, but in the same year, there was a huge bomb explosion, that terrorist bomb that went off in a government building in the city center. And I think about 6 or 9 people died, and it was a terrible thing. And I felt it long before it happened in that area, but I didn't understand what it is that I was feeling. So,
that's why you're very sensitive, but now you know, and you're right, you're having a book. But you know, I want to ask you, this is something that's always interesting to me. Clairvoyance has always been the mother or the father of all the Clairs. I mean, all my life, you know, I'm a little older than you, but little, just a little, but maybe a lot. But clairvoyant was always the one thing that we always used to hear, clairvoyant, before anything else. I mean, do you agree?
Yes, it's a very well-known term, and it's often mistaken for lots of other things. I think we talked about it last time, and Steve would probably be able to confirm this for us. We talked about the fact that in the UK, when you ask the average British person what is a clairvoyant, they would say to you it's a person that speaks to dead people, or it's a medium. So to them, to a lot of people, a clairvoyant and a medium is the same thing. So it's just sort of, I think it's maybe because it has to do with the fact that in the old days they used to talk of people as being seers, that they see the future or whatever.
Right.
So the clairvoyance became attached to the idea of talking to dead people, seeing the future, whatever. But it's actually much more than that. You know, there are different types of clairvoyance. I've put them sort of into four categories. You get what I call intuitive clairvoyance. What I mean by that is that it's an internal experience, an inner subjective experience that most clairvoyants use. And it's where you have images arising from your unconscious or from the Akashic records, whatever you want to call it. So you would see these mental flashes, or you would see like a little movie in your head. We talked about this last time. So it's sort of on the inside. And like I saw the guy with the blue shirt when I did a reading for that girl. Then the second form is what I call paranormal clairvoyance, for the lack of a better term. And this refers to seeing energies or entities or vibrations or manifestations, apparitions, whatever you want to call it, outside of us. So this is not seeing something you see in your mind's eye. You're not seeing a guy with a blue shirt. You're seeing somebody or something in the room with you, or you see, like I see people's auras, especially if the lighting is right and if it's like a light colored wall behind them. I see people's auras. I don't know what to call it because I don't confine much about it. The closest I came to it is transfiguration. Transfiguration is something, it's a bit sort of old fashioned, it's out of fashion in these days. In the 1800s, transfiguration was a big thing. It's where a medium would do a seance or something, and they would take on, while they are channeling, they would take on the appearance of the person or the entity that's speaking through them.
I understand they'd be looking like them, and their voice would change and all that.
It's more like, you know, in the old days, we used to have these home movies or slideshows that you projected on a wall, and if a person would walk in front of the projector, the actor's face would be superimposed on the person standing there. It's almost that kind of thing. So I see that, not necessarily when I'm doing a mediumship reading, but when I do readings for people, or when I walk on, like, outside in public, I would sometimes see another person's face superimposed on a person's face.
Oh, okay. That's fascinating.
That would be a form of clairvoyance as well. Yeah, it is quite fascinating.
But that is a form of you would call it clairvoyance. See, that's the
exactly,
part is a lot of people don't know this.
It's a paranormal manifestation of energy that you are seeing beyond the normal range or spectrum of perception. With the inner experience, clairvoyants see all kinds of things. They see symbols. Like we talked last time about John Edward that says he sees different colored roses for different things. Like if it's a blue rose, somebody died recently. If it's a pink rose, they're sending love. The medium normally figures out what certain symbols mean. But it's inner things. It can be numbers, symbols, names, letters, colors. Another thing I see is the chakras. I sometimes see, here's a very good example of clairvoyance, to clarify. I don't know if you also experience this. I can typically, normally, usually, most of the time, when I have a telephone conversation with a stranger for the first time, I can normally see what they look like. Not in detail, but I can tell you, she's about this tall. She's got blonde hair or light hair or dark hair. She's got a dark complexion or light. I can sort of make out what you look like. And when I meet you later in real life, you normally fit the idea I had in my mind of you. Interestingly, the only thing I tend to get wrong is often people's age. I don't know why, but I would normally think you're either older or younger.
Because we're so young and we don't even know what everybody else's age.
But that would be a very good example of clairvoyance, because that is not an intuitive thing that I'm thinking in my own mind, in my imagination. I'm picking this up from your energy somehow, what you look like. So I'm seeing in my mind's eye what you look like, even though I've never met you face to face or see a picture of you. That's an excellent example of clairvoyance. So that would be the internal version. But like I said, there's the external thing as well. And you get some people that actually report, strangely, a lot of mediums report that they had that they saw physical manifestations or apparitions as a child, which I did as well. But somehow we don't get that back when we are older. I don't know. I don't know of a lot of people that actually physically still see that kind of thing. But it does. It is reported by some people. But that's not all. There are two more ways that clairvoyants see. Apart from the intuitive internal and the paranormal external, there's also clairvoyance in space and clairvoyance in time. And wow. What this means is clairvoyance in space, it's more commonly known, or one form of it, one method of it, is called remote viewing. So you don't have constraints on space. I'm sitting in South Africa. When I speak to you, I can see where you're sitting in your room or what your house looks like from the outside. I can normally see the color of your house, things like that. So you have no time constraints. You can see, you can, the mystics call it astral projection or astral traveling or whatever. The US military called it remote viewing because they developed a method, a specific system of how to do this technically, and that's so that they can teach it to people and they can sort of measure it and all of that. And then there's clairvoyance in time, where you can see in the future, like I saw the guy with blue shirt, or you can see things from the past, or you can see things in the present. So it's much more than seeing 11/11 on a billboard. You understand what I'm saying?
I did remote viewing certification many years ago. A lot of people are calling themselves remote viewers, and I'm not saying anything bad. I'm not saying I don't believe them, but remote viewing, I did a year and a half worth of whatever you want to call it. You know, where it was a process, and it wasn't like a couple of days worth. I don't call myself a remote viewer, but it is absolutely fascinating. And I didn't know that's a good, I didn't know the way you put it, it is a form of clairvoyance.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's interesting. That I never thought about it that way.
And clairvoyance also comes up in your dreams. Like you would see things, like the book I'm writing now, it was the whole concept, the basic foundational concept for the book was triggered by a dream. It was like a very vivid clairvoyant visitation dream. And this is interesting, you might want to hear, is that in this dream, I was in a place, I was standing on a high place looking out over an ancient modern city, believe it or not. It was both ancient and historic and modern at the same, and technological at the same time. I thought it was like Egyptian or maybe Greek or Roman or something, because I'm not much of a historian. And when I did research on it later and I started looking for pictures and stuff, I discovered to greatest shock, because I've never known anything about it before, I discovered that the symbols and stuff I saw on the buildings and the architecture and that, you know, the sort of style of it all was extremely reminiscent of the Sumerian civilization. And how I know for a fact that it is, I had a voice in the dream saying to me certain things that I tell about in the book. But the main thing that this voice said to me is, I said, but I don't know where to start. I don't have an idea. I don't know how to bring it all together. I know what I want to say, but I don't know how to bring it together. And this voice said to me, find Inanna. And I thought, what the hell? I remember thinking, because it was like a lucid dream. I remember thinking in my dream, but that doesn't make sense, because what does it mean? I just saw this letters, I-N-A-N-A. And then I researched it later, because I keep a dream journal, and I researched it, and I found that it was actually incorrect spelling. The correct spelling was in English, in modern English, it's spelled Inanna with two N's, I-N-A-N-N-A. And she was the sort of main Sumerian goddess of war, love and war, sun and moon, day and night, that kind of thing. And what was interesting about it is when I looked at because the Sumerians were one of the first civilizations to write, to start writing down their language. And they wrote in symbols like the Egyptians, like hieroglyphs. That's why I thought it was maybe Egyptian in my dream or after my dream. The two symbols they used for goddess Inanna spells out I-N-A and N-A without the second N. Now, I'm not a student of Sumerian script. Okay. There's no way that I would have known that. Even if I'm sort of forgetful and I maybe read about Inanna a long time ago and I stored it in my subconscious and it popped up in my dream by accident, I would have had it as Inanna with two N's, not with one N. Because right. I knew nothing about Sumerian language. So I actually, in my dream, got the name with the original ancient spelling.
Exactly. Well, I like
that's
that, Anton.
That's a clairvoyant experience, because that information did not come from my subconscious mind. It came
no,
from
it did
somewhere.
Not. I absolutely agree. And I, like I said, I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. And I do know that what you – well, I know. I know everything. No, but I know that you are – like, you know how I feel about you. I really regard you very highly. And if anybody does, I don't, you know, walk around saying that, well, do I, about some people. But I know that that's something that's, you just don't talk about unless it happens. So, you know, Anton, we're getting to, I want to keep you on forever. I want to have you on for hours.
No,
I love
sure
talking to you for hours. And, you know, I need to close the show out. Is there anything else you would like to say? I mean, I think we covered pretty much. I mean, we could. There's so much more information that goes into it. It all kind of fuses
yes,
into
think,
so
you know,
many
but
other
I think
things.
We covered sort of the main sort of important points. Because, you know, it helped to clarify the whole thing around clairvoyance and clairsentience, because there's a lot of confusion around. The
right.
clairaudience thing people tend to have sort of figured out. There was something interesting that we didn't talk about last time. I just quickly want to mention to you that I find extremely interesting. And I think you will also, because I know you also have psychokinetic ability.
Yeah.
I don't know how you experience it, because with me, it's like the moment I walk under a, it's especially if I'm in a certain sort of state of mind or a mood, especially when I'm not, I'm tired or not feeling well, I'm upset or whatever, light bulbs would explode. Above my head, or just lights would flicker. My computer packs up. I don't know. I think I told you about the time I was in the supermarket where where the pipe from the air conditioning fell in my head. I was walking in the supermarket. There was nobody else, and the moment I walked under a certain area, I just heard this huge noise or something, and the next moment I was full of muddy water, and there was this plastic pipe that I was actually had this bloody scratch on my forehead. This pipe just fell out of nowhere on my head, and I don't think it was a rat or something that scared. It was, I don't know what triggered it, but some sort of thing caused that pipe to come loose or fall. So, and I actually found interesting information about psychokinesis, and that is that there seems to be an electromagnetic link, which I think a lot of us know. But this is actually from remote viewing studies at Stanford Research Institute in the 70s. At one point in their research, they used Faraday cages. You know those cages that they put people in and then they can put electricity and makes like lightning?
I do know what you're talking about. Yes, I do.
It's called a Faraday cage. And what a Faraday cage does, it keeps electromagnetic energy field outside. There's no electricity inside the Faraday cage. So it blocks electromagnetic activity out. They put the remote viewers, when they tested them, inside Faraday cages because they wanted to see if they take electromagneticism away from them, would they still be able to remote view? And in fact, it had the opposite effect. They were able to remote view better, not worse. And I read in Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell's book, ESP, The ESP Enigma, she wrote that they have found in studies. Now, this woman has a PhD. She's not some sort of wacko, right? They found that psychic ability seems to be highest with people when the Earth's electromagnetic activity is at its lowest.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that
interesting? And it makes sense to me, though. It does.
So actually, in a sense, those of us who do our work, do readings and stuff at a computer, is probably not doing the best job we can.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of electromagnetic energy around your computer. So,
yes.
And I suppose around your telephone as well. So that's just something that I thought was quite fascinating.
Yes, very fascinating. You come up, you find the fascinating things. And I'm sorry, I have to bring us to a close, but you know what?
Yes.
Well, everybody knows who Anton, well, we all do. I just, Anton St. Martin. I'm so sorry about your last name before. But Anton St. Martin, how's that sound? Did I say it right? Did I say it right, Anton?
It's much better.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. But no, I really want to thank you for joining us tonight. And I could go on for a long time, you know. And I really appreciate it. I respect your work so heartfeltly as in a friend and associate and professional and everything. And anyway, I want you to have a really good morning. It is your morning, I guess, now. Mm-hmm. And you can find out more about Anton Saint-Martin and his services at http://AntonSaintMartin. It's MAARTEN.com. And his Anton's contact information is on our guest page at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com as well. So, Anton, if you're going to hang around the chat, I guess I get to go in there and I'll try to check you out in there. But, Anton, thank you so much. You have such a wealth of knowledge. Really, I just
pleasure,
adore
Maureen.
You.
Thanks a lot for having me back.
It's my pleasure, everybody's, I think. Bye, Anton. Everybody say goodbye, Anton.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye, Anton. Thanks.
Bye, Anton. Thank you.
There's Steve's voice.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye. There's Brenda's voice. Hi, see here's Steve. Hi, Steve. Okay. Anton's great.
Hi, Anton.
And yeah, Anton may probably be hanging out. Okay, I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements, and it goes like this. Excuse me. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com. I was talking to Anton's editor over there. So the psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And if you're interested in reading from the best of us, professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best, like I just said it, but I'm going to say it again, the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from a list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. They also have videos. Most of us have videos too, which is great. So you can look at us. It is an honor working with Doug. I've known Doug for, almost a decade, I think. And Psychic Access, because of the high expectations required of each psychic. So all of us here at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and Anton as well. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you and read for you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Okay, if you'd like our show again, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint, because everybody in there is a lot of fun. I haven't been in there. Hi, everybody. I will be back in a minute, but there's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We'd very much appreciate that. So, this is a time where you might want to get your pen and pencil ready. pastels. Mm-hmm. And the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. And now comes the time where we start arguing. No, come on, you guys. You're not laughing with me. What's up? Are you guys there? Thank you, Brenda. Oh, thank you. You're there. And Steve. Wah. Okay, that was a good one. Do that again. That's on our Halloween's coming. And Halloweenies coming up. Oh, boy. and Steve, you're over there. Hello, Steve.
Hi,
Steve. Nice to hear your voice. I'm glad you were. I didn't do you justice, I'm sure, with what your expertise was in the beginning, but I did the best I could. But
thank you.
Well, you have to hear it before you thank me.
I'll listen to the archive.
Well, just skip through that. No, I'm joking. I did good. I said it like it was. I said you're fabulous. Fantastic. So, Steve, how Claire, I wanted to name my daughter Claire before. I always thought Claire was such a nice name, but how Claire are you?
Not very this evening.
I can clearly say I have clarified your energy tonight.
Oh, thank you. Well, I wanted to pick up on a really interesting point that Anton made about children, because when I was a child, I was extremely clairvoyant and clairaudient. So I would see people in spirit fully manifesting themselves physically, and I could converse with them just as I can converse with a human being in physical form now. And it was very clear, very distinct, to the point that at times, socially, it was embarrassing because I, as a kid, I couldn't always tell whether I was speaking with a spirit person or a person in physical form. And so it would sometimes be confusing because I might refer to somebody and other people wouldn't see that person. Or on occasions, and this does still happen to me sometimes, I will see somebody and not acknowledge them or not enter into a conversation with them, thinking that it's a spirit person that I'm seeing and that I don't have to at that point in time choose to engage in an interaction. And that's particularly embarrassing if you're with a group of people and you're approached or you fail to communicate with somebody who is actually there because you think that that's somebody in spirit and you're off duty. Because I'm very strict about when I'm working and when I'm not working, and I'm very clear, or I try to be very clear with my guides about when I'm off duty, i.e. this is my time, I need to rest, I need my energy for myself to recuperate, and I'm not available to interact with spirit. So occasionally in a social situation it can be a bit awkward, but I wanted to say I'm far less clairaudient and clairvoyant than I was when I was a child. And now I would say I'm far more claircognizant and clairsentient. So I feel things very deeply and I have a sense of knowing. So I would say 70% of the time when I'm working, I am sensing very deeply within my mind's eye, within my heart, within my body physically, and I have a very strong sense that something is correct, or a very strong sense of insight or observation. But it does change, and not only does it change when we go from childhood to adulthood, it changes as we develop our abilities and as we mature. So some days I can be far more clairsentient and far less clairaudient, and other days it can be different. It waxes and wanes.
That's a good point. Because people out there listening to, because we all do readings, and it is very clear, because a lot of people sometimes, and it's a good point. Not only that, it's really good that you need, I've noticed that you've been doing that, Steve. I've noticed you've been doing some work on listening better, haven't you?
Sorry?
He's not listening to me now. Oh, you just said me. Insert. Oh, yeah, insert it in that mouth.
I tell you what I've been doing.
Example.
I'll be completely honest. I've learned that I have to conserve energy in order to be my best. And I've learned that I cannot be switched on all of the time, that I cannot be constantly reading. I've learned that my ability is far stronger when I ensure I have a balance, and that means slowing down verbally, slowing down physically, and taking time out.
Well, all I know is I've noticed it, and you're really right. We all have to do that. And Brenda, you were jumping in there for a second. You were about going, yeah. And what were you going to say? Go for it.
Well, I can totally agree with him having to do with the whole balance, because I'm, as a Capricorn, I just want to keep going and going and going and going and going. But it really, you know, after a while, you just need to you have to have that record. You have to recharge your batteries. And I totally, you know, I get where he's coming from as far as, like, you know, the senses change with everybody. I mean, I believe that I've acquired more. I started out clairvoyant, seeing things, just like Steve. Not that they were apparitions so much. Sometimes they were mostly people who had passed over that connected with me when I was a child. And I used to think, why am I so weird? I'm like the odd one in the family, you know. My grandmother used to look at me and go, I know who you are. And she'd point at me.
I always say, all you people in my family that I don't really get along with, all you people don't get all you
it
people.
It was just bizarre. And then I found out my father, he revealed it to me when he turned 60 that his grandmother, my great-grandmother, Annunciata, she was a Victorian medium. And she was from Italy, and she did all this stuff. And so everybody in the family was just kind of looking at me like, oh, no, here it comes.
At least you're not getting oh, no, here she goes again. So
well, she'd always say, when are you going to get a real job, you know? No. But, no, I started out clairvoyant, but over the years I've become clairsentient and clairaudient. I mean, a lot of clairaudient stuff lately.
Well, it's interesting to bring up, but when I was in the 80s, when I began doing this, not that I chose it, it is my work, I was supposed to do it, but clairvoyant, like I said, that was the biggest word I ever heard on the clair issue, really, because now, it's interesting to bring that up, so we start out, and now these other ones, the clairsentient and the clair, I mean, those...
They never really
those,
put a name to it back then.
Anton and I were speaking about that. They never did have a name to it. So then it was interesting. Anton, thank you. You really enlightened me on that remote viewing part, because that's part of the... All I know is I see things in my head. I don't get guides or something, but I do know a pair of people go, God, you're so clairvoyant. I'm like, well, clairvoyant was the only big king bee or queen bee.
They never talked about anything else. That's
no, so I guess, so yeah, exactly. So now we've all, like, what you guys make sense, like, because I know, because I'm in my age and through my age, I've become, and my PK is what got me involved in my work anyway. It was gone. It went haywire. I was, you know, people know my story there. And Brenda, you will hear it and be tired of hearing it later too. So I'll save you the misery. But I did research at UCLA, but it was pretty awful for me. But it was good. But Brenda, I want to ask you: are the voices that you hear, are they real? No, in your head. I know you're not.
Oh, that's so funny. You know, but it has helped me in, like, for I was a number of years ago. It was raining, just coming down. Terrible on the freeway, and I was in the fast lane, and I hit a spot of water, and I hit it with my car, and I heard in my voice, do not put on the brakes, do not touch the steering wheel. And so I didn't, and the car did a complete donut across all four lanes in traffic, and then it came back to the fast lane and like came to a stop. And I missed everybody. And it was, people were passing me, you know, it was full. The freeway was packed. I avoided it. But if I had done that, I would have rolled my car and killed myself. Easy.
See, there you have it.
Stuff like that. Or with my dog. I have to tell everybody about my wonderful, fabulous greyhound. I was sitting at the computer and I heard this voice in my head, go to Operation Greyhound. So I got online and there he was. And it was another horrendously rainy day that I drove down to meet him for the first time. Wild, huh? It still amazes me.
It's
all
not wild.
Stuff.
I know. It does. You know what?
It never
crazy.
Fails to amaze me.
It's like, I am a skeptical person. I am. I'm not saying what people do. I'm not just disrespecting anybody. But I do know, like, again, I'm really, really clear. I don't believe in any of this, any of whatever I'm doing, except all I know is what I know. So something that someone's doing that I'm like, even if I haven't experienced it, I'm open-minded to everything. But until I know for me, it's not that I'm saying I believe. I just don't like the word believe because it's gotten so ridiculous.
Well, you have believe, to see it.
You got to feel it. You got to experience it. You got to do something with it, you know. And so it's been a really interesting ride so far, and I'm sure it's going to get any better, but I think it's a pretty cool ride, and it's really lovely meeting the people that I have been opposed to. When I met the people in the 80s, they weren't, I was disillusioned, I was pretty let down, but not, you and Steve don't let me down.
We promise.
I'm delighted this evening.
you'll let me down later anyway. But Steve, I want to ask you, how important is it to understand which of the clairs as if the clairs we are working with, you know, like, is it important to understand which to, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, you know, my honest answer is I don't think we need to distinguish to the nth degree of detail the process that we're using if we're accurate. So it is fascinating to understand the different clairs. It is fascinating to research and understand extrasensory perception, mediumship, telepathy. I read about these things a lot. But I found that with people who are learning to tune into spirit, who are learning to develop their intuition, they can get overly fixated upon which of the clairs they're using or the extent to which they're using the clairs. And it can be a blockage for some people. So particularly with claircognizance, people hold back their ability because they don't see a spirit person or a guide in front of them telling them what to say, or they don't hear a crystal clear voice that gives them information. So they are opening up their claircognizance and their clairsentience, but because it's quite a surreal process to them, they therefore hold back. And you see this a lot with mediumship development. I've seen so many students of mediumship feeling uncomfortable articulating what they're sensing or what they just know from spirit because it is surreal and it feels risky to open your mouth and give insight or give evidence when you're not quite sure how the information is coming to you or where it's coming from.
Exactly.
And I also wanted to just pick up on the point about it being different each day. You know, I can sit with a client one day and it may be that they've come specifically for mediumship. Their need is to overcome grief, to have evidence that the person they love continues to exist. And with mediumship, I sense very deeply. I can feel physically the person in spirit overshadowing me physically. I can see very clearly what they show me in my mind, so I can sometimes see around the home that they lived in. I can recall memories that they have. It's a very deep feeling, a very deep connection. Whereas another client who is coming for insight and not mediumship, I can see far less in my mind. I just have a sense of knowing. So it depends not only on the type of reading, but also upon the energy of the client. Because you can have a client that comes for intuitive guidance, i.e. not mediumship, and their energy is such that you have a sense of knowing, you have a sense of claircognizance, but you can't get to a great depth of detail. And that may well be because they are cautious, or they've not had a reading before, they're nervous, anxious, so their energy is more shut down, it's more difficult to access them. But then you can have another client that bounces in the door that has wonderful energy, that's really open to it, enthusiastic, come with a great attitude. Mm-hmm. They know a fair amount about how it works, and they trust in spirit, and they trust that you're coming from a place of love and truth. That can be a completely different reading. You can go to the nth degree of detail with that client. You can reveal all kinds of information. So it's not just about the energy of the person giving the reading.
Right. Did we lose somebody? Steve? You there?
Well, Steve, I'm still here.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
All of a sudden went dead there.
Something went weird, like, ooh, what was that? Uh-huh. Well, how about this? It was something Steve was going off about. Yeah, okay.
Did you not hear my response?
Yeah, we did, but then...
You did hear your
response. And then something just went kind of like...
Then you know, just kind of went dead.
Like, not really dead, but like in a convalescent state of a deep mid, I don't know what it was. But no, we heard everything, but then there was someone just... calm. I don't know what it was, Steve. You tell us. Well, Brenda, how about this? You can tell us. Steve, that was really interesting. I've been really noticing. I really like whatever you're doing lately. It's your practice. Whatever you're doing to make some changes in the way you're connecting with your readings now and the time period that you're in. I don't know if this makes sense. It's really, I've been noted. It's been well noted by me.
Well, thank you. I'm very honored to have had in the last year the world's best mentor.
I speak very highly of her. I know you do. Something's working. You're working the work. We're good with her. Whatever you. You're doing, it's just as I've noticed it. It's really great. And so we don't want you on the show anymore. No, Steve, we want you always on the show. Of course we do.
I love the show.
I'm glad you do, and I love you, and I love having you on, and it's so nice. And Brenda, you're such a great addition. Brenda, I want to ask you, why are you here? No, I'm joking. Why are the rivals?
Sometimes I ask myself that.
Why are we all?
I just go with my feelings.
And that's a good thing. And women can do that well, but why are the rival spirits often? Well, we're talking about orders by different, not our orders. I can't even say the name. Odor.
Oh, you mean the scratch and sniff the
perfume, the cigarettes? Yes, exactly. Because I have had that experience before with my grandmother.
Of the Claire's, okay.
Yeah, it's a Claire scent. Claire scent.
I think it's really interesting. I mean, it's like because.
It is.
You know, I had curiosity about it, that, and I think that Anton, you know, I liked what he said about, you know, comparing it almost like a dog whistle, or how dogs can smell things that we can't. And I know that, you know, people that truly are psychic, or even I feel that not even there, when the scents come through, they come through even to people who really, they may not truly be psychic, but they are intuitive. You know, it's one of those ways, I think, that it gives substance to the spirit without actually seeing an apparition. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's really interesting because, I mean, I've had many instances in which, you know, I've smelled cigarette smoke in old homes that I've been. None of us smoke, or you can smell a perfume and stuff. And I think that's just one of the smelling. No, nobody really addresses that, but I think that they even use that in certain types of readings as well. You know, and I have done readings when I wanted one particular client. I was talking to her, and I go, you know, I smell this ammonia. What is this ammonia smell? And it had to do with something that was happening to one of her family members, and it was pretty accurate. So, you know, it had come to me through an actual smell, though she didn't smell it. I smelled it. I don't want to have to say I smelled it in my head, but I kind of did. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Just like when we see and people ask us, they go, well, what are you seeing? Like they always ask me when I'm looking in my crystal ball, they go, so what are you seeing there? And, you know, one lady says to me, she goes, well, if you see myself and this guy together, I hope you're not seeing us without our clothes. What a weird thing to ask, but
yeah, that's funny. Actually, that's really honest.
But that is funny, but you know, when I was a kid, I used to worry that spirit could see me naked. Or I did. I know.
That's true. I've been thinking about that after not to pick my nose, but if somebody's now everybody, never mind. But you know what? I don't think that they would want to. So really, their priorities are different. I, you know, but who knows?
Speak for yourself.
Maybe we'll find out later what they're watching.
Like to think they watch.
Before, yes, they're watching us all. Never do the nasty. I don't know. Baba Boom, Baba Bing or something. Okay.
Maureen, I just wanted to say, though, to Brenda's point about smelling Claire Guston.
Yes.
Smell, right? And again, it depends on, for me, it depends on the person in spirit, because sometimes in a reading I can smell a fragrance that I describe, and that's the fragrance that the person in spirit would wear. And for me, again, it's also about how the person in spirit is choosing to communicate.
Mm-hmm. That's how my grandmother smelled, you know, Avon. That's how I knew it was her. She's the word that I talked about before, but it was just that smell of awful. Well, it was her. But she was worried about it. It was a long time ago. But you know, it was her. You know, you guys, I guess we have a lot of readings waiting for us. Apparently,
oh, really?
We are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're. Well, so I hear. And if people are there, we better get on those calls right now. Or else. But I think Steve has the first one from New York. I'm sorry. So, you guys, here we go. You ready? Vroom, vroom. Okay, New York is the first one for Steve. I believe it's New York. Bit.
No, the first call is from California, Maureen.
Oh, gosh, I got an F on that. F as in being frank, okay? Okay, first one is, and I'm in California. See, I couldn't even get that one straight. Okay, Steve, there you go. California, Steve.
Great. Who's calling from California?
Hello? Hello, this is Dio.
Hi, Dio, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing fine.
Good. How can we help?
I was just wondering if you see a love life happening for me soon.
Okay. Let me see. I'm just asking. I feel strongly with you that there's been a lot of change in your life this year. I really feel, you know, Maureen was saying that I've focused on development a lot this year, and I just feel that there's been a huge transformation in you this year. I feel strongly from what my guides are showing me that you are more confident in yourself than you were 12 months ago. It's 11, 12 months ago, or I'm drawn back to November of last year. But I feel as though there's been a big shift in you, and you really are ready to move forward with life and to be in a relationship. But I do have to say to you, before you meet the person that you will settle with, I see more change. I'm reminded of somebody
Hello?
That I have a huge amount of respect for saying to me, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Dio?
Yeah, now I can.
Did you not hear what I was saying?
I heard that there was going to be a lot of change, and then you blanked out.
Okay. Well, what my guides are saying, Dio, is there's already been a lot of change, that there's been a big shift in you since last November. It's almost 12 months, 11, 12 months. You've done a lot of work on yourself, and you're more confident, you're more sociable, you're clearer about what you want in life. But my guides are saying that before you meet the person that you will say, there will be more change. And I'm reminded of somebody I respect much who said to me, observe, 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 and let go, let go, let go. So in other words, really observe yourself, really observe your life, and make very conscious decisions, and really, truly release the experiences from the past that hold you back. I very, very the changes that you've made in the last 11 months are probably only about 30%, 25-30% of the changes that you will have made by June of next year. beyond June of next year, I see you finding a great relationship, but I see a change in profession, even a change in home, and a real change in outlook, even the way you dress. Nearly everything you will shift up a gear and transform by the month of June, and then it'll be onwards and upwards from that point.
Okay.
Well, Steve, okay.
Thank you so much for the meeting. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck to you. Really, I mean, my guides are so clear. Be excited and be prepared to make decisions. Let go of the circumstances, the feelings, the things that no longer serve you, because now you've got to be really clear and focused upon what you really do want, because between now and June, a lot's going to change. Stay focused on what you want rather than the things you don't want.
Okay. Will do.
Good luck.
All right, you guys have a great night.
Thank you, you too. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And Brenda, you're up next, and the caller is calling from we have a call from New Jersey for Brenda.
Who am I speaking to from New Jersey?
This is Debbie, Deborah. I have a lot of good stuff going on. I have a new person in my life, so I'm not worried about my friends that I've been missing for a year as much, but I've noticed me and my kids, people that are closest to us, have combatively left our life, like fighting us in arguments, and they just leave. What do you see for me in the next few months as far as a promotion, new friends?
Okay, let's take a peek here, my dear. We've kind of bent over backwards, it looks like, especially in the area of your family. And it really feels like, you know what, the sooner you stop doing that, the sooner that energy will change. I do see a lot of issues around people. It's kind of like everything's coming to a head here at the end of the year. Can you hear me?
It's coming to a head.
Yeah, kind of coming to the head. I see a lot of financial pressure right now. And there has been in the last 5 months. But, you know, I do see a clear pathway to a promotion. They're talking about it. They may have even considered it before, but it didn't happen.
Interesting.
I see a man is going to approach you about this within the next 30 days. Kind of like getting your opinion on, well, if this happened, you know, could you see yourself in this position, that type of a thing. Yeah. Feels like you're going to put some things behind you with a relationship from the past, too. And it looks like this isn't about you. This may be about the person from the past. I'm getting some sentimental feelings are coming from somebody who you were in a relationship with, and I do believe this person will contact you in the next 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I do see a very supportive relationship around you now, though, too. That's kind of like an oasis in all this chaos.
Yeah, it is.
You know what? Look at this as transformation. It doesn't look like it's, you know, this mess is going to last.
Really.
I see some new friends, too. Do you have a woman that you're talking to now at work that you hadn't previously talked to before?
Yeah, they're good friends.
Yeah, you're going to start to know her a little bit better, especially in the holiday season. It looks like you're going to it looks like, you know, a new level enters your friendship, and that's kind of nice. You could spend some girl time together. Yay!
Yes, that's what I say, yay.
Cosmopolitan evening or something like that. I see a rebirth in your relationship with a family member, and it feels like it's a girl, and I do feel that things have been pretty up and down, very emotional for her, and in many ways she's crying out, she wants to be heard, she's got some things happening with her school that need further looking into. Yeah.
My daughter.
Yeah. Is she in love with a boy right now?
Yeah, Marvin. Ah. They've been dating since 16.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he's driving her nuts, and it won't stop. So this is her lesson. It's hard to see them fall like that, but you know what? She will come out on the other end of it just fine. Yeah.
And would I see Francine anytime soon?
We kind of cut out there. Can you say again?
Would I ever see Francine anytime soon? She was my old friend. I kind of got over her. But I was just wondering how she was doing. Steve helped me get to that one.
You know, I feel her energy around you, like she wants to contact you, but it's almost like she's holding back. Did you have a fight with her or some kind of weird disagreement and you don't even understand why?
Yeah. I don't understand, but she owes a lot of her apologies to me. I don't think she thinks I forgave her for what she did, but I did.
Well, you'll have to... This is what I see happening. I feel that there's going to be some kind of communication through somebody else that opens a door, and, you know, you're going to feel good about, right around the holidays, just sending a message out to her, and she will reciprocate, and you will have a conversation.
That'll work. It'll be her mom. Her mom has been a really good person. Thank you so very much. I know I don't want to take up too much time, you know.
That's okay, honey. Hang in there.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Brenda. That was a lovely reading.
Thank you.
Very nice. And I think the next caller is for Maureen in California. And I'm Maureen. I'm in California. Hi,
welcome,
California.
The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please call your call again later. And
we got some.
One,
I guess
six,
I get.
Four,
there you
six,
go.
Dash,
that's
six,
my glitch, huh?
That's my dad giving me a message, isn't it?
Not available at this time.
Yeah. He could call me. Call me on my mom got a new phone number. Okay, so maybe that's why. Okay, hi, California. Are you there now? Oh, California. Brenda and I are in California too. I'll give my address. Hi, California. This is Maureen in California. How are you? I'll try it again. Oh, I'm going to start seeing Joni Mitchell before you know it. California. California? There you are. Hi, California. I know your name's not California, but you're in California. May I please have your name?
My name is Lynn.
I'm sorry, Bren?
Lynn.
Lynn, I'm sorry. Hi, Lynn. This is Maureen. And what can I help you with?
Well, I don't know that you can help me or anybody. I'm just kind of in a pause state. I've been going through a lot of difficulties for a while. And I've actually had several readings with Anton, and he's been spot on a lot of things. But I was trying to resurface some of her old recordings, and I'm in a state right now where I'm having more than my usual difficulties, and I just want to know how long it's going to be consistent, the difficulties.
Okay. Okay, so what I hear you saying is you want to know how much longer, and I do not like this word, I'm going to use it, how much longer you're going to have to persevere in your situation of life. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, I'm not at a good point. Let's just put it that way.
I'm sorry, I lost the last part. You said you were not. I could you repeat that? What you just said.
I'm just feeling like giving up.
Okay, I got it. And this is your woman's fed up is basically what you're saying in everything. And when you get a woman that's fed up, there's some good reasons why that goes on. And I'm not saying that in a bad way at all. Okay, Lynn, are you fed up? You know, this is what I'm getting. I feel very strongly that I don't know exactly what you mean by fed up, but I could honestly say you're probably fed up with maybe relationship issues or being whatever the case may be. But what I see you doing really, or would be, I'm encouraging you maybe to focus on, because I see you having a very strong ability to pick up something that you once really were involved in a long time ago, that may have been like a hobby that you see real creative, and you were able to complete these projects, and it brought a sense of, It brought a good sense of contentment. And not only that, I see you going to be heading towards, if you're not already, an opportunity to be like that of a student. It may not be in a regular conventional school, but something you need to get more knowledge about. And it's all, this is all about you. It's about, you know, I know there's a lot of people that really will let you down and they kind of disappoint you. There's something about springtime. It could have been last springtime, but there's also a feeling of coming up again. This happening, it's like a pattern of trying to reconnect with a, and this would be in matters of the heart with your, with a companion or someone. And again, a new beginning is not going to be possible. I see you going, I see you going to some pretty heavy stuff that is actually, it will allow healing, but it's really internalizing. It's not a physical death, but it's very painful. And it's been going on for 10 years, at least. I mean, I'm saying for a long time. But this is the last, it's the end of it. And this is, you're in for a big, not a transition, it's like a shift. There's a bad, and there's a male energy I see around you who I don't feel is capable of changing. He looks like he's very angry, he can rage, he's very aggressive. I feel you know of him, and he's just, he looks like he pops in. There's people around your home. You know what? This is a good time, Lynn, for to be all about you, being selfish, and I'm using that word because it is time to be all about you and being able to grasp hold of something that maybe, you know, you let go by because of whatever reasons, and for you to reclaim yourself. And by doing so, I see you being extremely happy along. Now, this is not something that's going to happen in a month or two or three, but I do find you, I see you coming back to your, back to a time where you, I just see the way things are going, I think you've been taking the wrong road. Or there also, I get a feeling like you need, you would like to get a new vehicle, but Lynn, there's a lot of good things that you have going for you. I think it's just time for you to really go inward, and it means risking if you can, and I think you can. I would rather do it, looking at what I'm seeing here, going for what you really are capable of, and go, really getting involved back into the, your creative work, learning something new, and going through the rest and ending the pain. I see you being extremely happy, because the road you've been taking has not been best, the best for you. I'm not saying you're a bad person or you're stupid or anything like that. I think there's been male energy. I don't know if you're married or whatever. But Lynn, I don't know if this has even anything to do with the relationship that you've been talking about too. You're
no,
fed up with
I'm,
it.
I'm divorced. He's in federal prison, but I'm still having nightmares.
Okay. So he, I get it. He's a pretty, he looks like I said, he's a type of person with snap too and rage and scary. I'm not saying for you to be scared. I'm saying if he's around you, I see him, he'll always be, excuse me, I'm sorry. He's got me all choked up. You might be having nightmares, but this is the end of it. If he's in prison, he's not going to, it's you have, I just see a brand new start, not with a relationship, but with start with you in a relationship. You in a relationship with yourself. I know silly, it might sound silly, but it's really not. And I feel that even as a child, you were misunderstood, and you didn't get to embrace and didn't get to acknowledge for the special that you had, and I think it's time to reclaim yourself. And I'm not trying to go on John Bradshaw, you know, the inner child stuff, but really, I see you dying off a lot of the old, and it's painful, but your wounds will be able to finally heal from a long 10-year, probably at least 10 years. I hope that you're following me okay on this.
No, I am.
I know it's hard. I know. Well,
I can't sleep. I'm in the same home. I'm struggling to save my home. I lost my job, and I'm just, you know.
Well, you know what? I get a feeling that there's something you might, you need more insight. Like I said, there's something I see you like as a student. To get more knowledge about something you can do in order for you. I see all good coming your way. Unless there's also, you need, are you the type of person that says, okay, if somebody comes stay at my house, another woman I see, and someone overstays are welcome, or this male I see who can snap and be raging and violent in a moment's time. The thing of it is, this should be where you're going to have to detach from a lot of people, and it's hard because you're used to them, but I think that you know that the road has not been the smartest road. Direction. I see you are going to take control of your life, and I do feel that you'll be able to find a way. I see it very soon. You just got to find out exactly more information about doing so, and I do see you thriving through. I absolutely do. that it is going to be difficult, but I don't think you'll have to persevere for years and years on end. I think you don't give yourself enough. You have a lot going for you. You just have to remember that. And I do see you. I know it's easy for. I know I can identify with what you're going through. But I do feel that.
I just got sideswiped by a guy just 2 days ago after I had changed my, you know, my liability on my insurance just to liability. So, you know, it's just.
Oh, great. Yeah, everything. Okay. It's like everything.
Then on top of everything else, and I'm just feeling overwhelmed, and now I'm having nightmares again. And
well, you know what? That overwhelmed feeling might be the end of what I'm saying. It's almost like internalizing your head towards. It's almost like being stabbed in the back the 10th time. It's like almost like 10 years worth. And in numerology, it's almost like you go into the 10-year, it's a long period. You've been in a lot of people. There's been a lot of stuff going on for a long time, painful thing. That wasn't right. People stabbing in your back, not treating you right, whatever. But then you die, not physically, but a spirit. It's almost like a spiritual. But then you get to rise up into the beginning, but your wounds will be open. But finally, the healing will take place. And that's when I see you really taking back hold of your life. So even those things that are happening now, maybe it's a way to kick. I know sometimes we need a good kick in the butt. I know, and all these things are going on. I don't think it will be like that forever. I'm just encouraging you to start learning a little bit more about what you can do and be selfish and all about you and forget about these people, others, or whatever, and try to focus on you as much as possible, and you'll get a lot more insight if you get some more knowledge on how to do maybe this option or another option. I do see a very positive thing in this. I feel you want this, but it's hard to get out of it when you've used to it so long.
Yeah.
It's very hard. But I see that you will, absolutely. Okay, Lee,
well,
I hope I helped you.
Maureen.
Yes? Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes,
thank you, Lynn, and you take care, and I understand that, but I know you can. You can get through this, and no more persevering. It's thriving, not surviving is what you want to do, thriving, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Lynn. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, and Steve, next caller, Washington State.
Good evening, Washington State. Who's calling?
Hi, Steve. It's Julie.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm very well, Julie. Even better speaking to you.
Good.
How can I help?
My son, Mark, I would like to know if he'll be involved in a relationship soon. I'm really concerned about him being alone.
You know, the first thing my guides say about Mark is you really should worry less and be more focused upon his talents. He's an exceptional guy. He's very talented. Talent-wise, he borders on. I'm trying to see what my guides are saying here. My guides are saying that. Okay, they're just going to talk directly to. So, Mark is an extremely talented man. He can be very inward and at times doesn't communicate clearly. In other words, he can feel quite awkward socially and finds it challenging to open up to people and even look people directly in the eye. He's very sensitive. His energy is extremely strong, but he's
dropping it through the last part that you just said.
Yeah, he's dropping. We're losing Steve or me.
Steve.
Okay, you there? You are.
Talent.
Oh, well, Brenda, you and I are here, right?
Did you hear what I said about?
I heard parts of it, Steve.
Maybe, you know, Steve, maybe because if she's in the chat room. Are you in the chat room by chance?
I am.
Maybe Steve can finish it through the chat room, because I know Steve, no offense, Steve, I know it's hard. We all have technical problems. Do you want maybe him to finish it through via chat? If you're in there, Steve, can you hear me okay on that?
Yes, I can do that.
Do you think that might be a good idea? Because I know you are breaking up a bit.
Yes, sure.
I think that's a good idea. If it's okay with our executive producer, it's an option. And I could maybe, yeah. Well, I can say, yeah, I'm anchoring the show. I think so. Because you had some good stuff going on there, Steve. I definitely know that. So, Brenda could
okay,
do the read next.
I will do that.
Thanks. Are you okay with that, Steve? I think it's a great idea. So, okay. So, Brenda, I guess. Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm here.
You're here. And you're so clear. So, Brenda is next. And Pennsylvania. Yeah, Brenda. Go for it, Brenda.
Where is it from? Where is the call from?
Pennsylvania.
Hi, Pennsylvania. How can I help you this evening?
Hi. This is Cheryl. Hi, Warren.
Hi, Cheryl. What can I do for you, hon?
Let's see. I'm good. I have lots of questions. I think I'll stick with I guess how do I phrase this? Okay, so I just guess I was going to ask you about a guy that I was seeing, and we kind of are taking a little break. I had actually talked to you a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to see what you were picking up. I haven't really talked to him. It's been about a week.
Let's take a peek.
It's been over a week, and just wanted to see what you were picking up.
Well, it feels like he's still bound by a lot of his feelings. Like he's, and in turn, he binds you by it because you're kind of in limbo waiting to see what he's doing. You know, what I'm getting from him clearly, he's just not ready to communicate yet, but he will be. It's just that he's.
Okay.
He's a little, you know, this taking a break and stuff. I believe it's legitimate on his part. I'm not seeing anything, you know, like a backstory, like there's anything funny in regards to that, other than this really is what he feels. And he's contemplating, you know, when he communicates with you again, you know, what he's going to do. And he knows he has to make a decision. I'm feeling that that's what's heavy on him, as you know. He has to make some kind of decision on, does he want to go forward? Because I feel there's a crossroads between the two of you. You are going to hear from him still. I mean, and I see it within the month. It's within 30 days, because it's very clear that you will hear from him. It's not that you're not going to hear from him again. He hasn't disappeared off the face of the earth, but it's hurtful. It is. It's hurtful that you don't hear. But no one thing. He's kind of paralyzed by, okay, what should I say? I'm not really ready to say anything. I'm not really ready to open up. But there's still a very powerful attraction between the two of you. I do see that. And he feels it.
And how I was left, you know, not ready to be serious, but at the same time, you know, it was, yeah, you're right. It was hurtful, even though it might not have been intentionally hurtful, but at the same time, you know, he wants to make sure he knows what he wants, and I guess, I don't know, he's not sure what it is, so.
Well, you know, this is the thing. Communication happens again between the two of you, and you will communicate. I believe that you'll be communicating within the next 30 days, maybe even sooner than that, actually. You know, I believe that it could even maybe be as soon as 2 weeks that you'll communicate again, and you will start talking first, and then I see it going back to what it was before. And he just, in some ways, you know, he has a lot of fears on his own. It feels like he had been hurt in the past, blah, 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 right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
And so he finds himself, oh, my God, I'm going down this road again. Am I going to go for it, or I'm going to take a step back? You know, and he's looking at a lot of things,
people,
and he's analyzing it. See what I mean? That's okay. You'd rather have him do this than all of a sudden he keeps going full steam and then just says, and then just does a disappearing act. You know what I mean?
So, right, right.
No, I see him clearly coming back, and it will be communicating with you again. And it doesn't feel like there's anything else. He was entirely honest with you on that, because I see that he's a straightforward type of person.
Okay, so you don't feel there's anybody else in his picture?
I'm not seeing it, and I'm looking hard, let me tell you. If I saw it, I would tell you.
Okay.
I just don't see it. I'm looking. No, I don't see it.
Okay.
There is the influence. There's the influence of what happened to him in the past, but that's not a physical person.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You are totally right on with that. You're right.
So he's wiggling. He's wiggling, my dear, but he'll get over it.
Well, I guess wiggling is better than,
disappearing, right?
Exactly.
You just have to hang tight with this. And you know what? You need what it is, because it puts you in the place of fear. And if you change the energy, because if you're thinking about it, you're sending out fear, it pushes it away from coming back. He can feel it. He feels it from you. Just kind of change the energy.
Yeah.
Focus on what's going on with your life, and you'll see that it changes faster. Yeah.
You know what? I've been trying that. That's the hard part for me.
It's very hard. It's very difficult because it's easy to sink back into those emotions. You know?
Yeah. So, okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, my dear. Take care.
Thank you, Cheryl. That was a really cool reading, wasn't it? Yes, it was. It was very insightful. Anyway, I guess, you know, good. That was excellent, Brenda, because I know Cheryl, and that was really good. And Brenda's really very good. She's got
Thank
it going
you,
on.
Thank you.
But you got to go. But you're in California like me. There's Californians coming out.
Well, I think it's very interesting to see the way everybody else, different people read. I mean, I don't...
Yeah.
I used to, years ago in the 80s, you know, I used to be in those psychic fairs, so we had a chance to see how everybody read, but now I've become a little bit more isolated, you know, you don't really get out there more and see how everybody reads. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of cool.
It helps you. It expands your mind in many
ways. And some people don't think that somebody's... And, you know, we all have our ways, but it's nice when some people go, oh, she didn't like, well, whatever, I talk like this. So anyway, Brenda, it was really great because this is the only second time I've been on with you. It's wonderful.
Oh,
so we have come to that part of the show, like Mr. Rogers would say, the show where we have to say goodbye, girls. Well, we're coming part of the show. We're saying goodbye, and I would like to thank. I think it was a wonderful show. I always love Anton. Thank you, Doug, so much for everything. You go way and beyond for me and behind the scenes, and you keep us on track, and then later tell us all. I'm joking. He's a wonderful executive producer. He really is. He's a great guy.
We love Doug.
Yes, and you know, he's a great guy to work with. He really is. And he's funny. He has a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And he keeps us on track, and he is our executive producer. So, yay. And thank you to my co-host. And... but I did it because I'm meditating. And for joining me tonight. And next week's show will be anchored by who else? Me. I want to say it. So this is special to my heart because a lot of people know. You know, my father just died very recently. I miss him very much, really. And he died October 6th, so October 19th at a funeral, so it was like a week ago. So saying goodbye to a loved one is never easy, and we all know it. We're all going to be going through it, especially if it's for good, and that's the weird part. So death is a natural part of life, but the more spiritual you become, this whole concept of death changes, which it does. And it's usually the ones that are left behind are all the whiny ones like me. But anyway, my dad's in a great place. So please join us next week called Healing Grief with Belief. And so it's a very special guest named Mark Anthony. He's an author, a lawyer, a practicing lawyer, by the way, and a psychic medium. And I really think that anybody could do well to listen to this or on the archives because like I said, for me, it's right now. It's happening, so... and I'm on that process. Doug's been helping me. Thank you, Doug. But you will find a contact link on our site. And I really want everybody to know, because we haven't talked about this, but if you know, if you find there's a link, a contact link, if you click it on our site, you will. We really welcome any questions or comments that you have, anything, you know, about the certain show coming up and anything, or if you want to partake. We'll answer a question or maybe ask somebody, our guest. And so there you have it. So good night, everybody, and then go for it, you guys. You can say your farewells.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Have a wonderful evening.
Good night, everyone. Bless your hearts. Thanks for coming. Come again.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.